What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mayor Andre Dickens in the city of Atlanta, and all of the, just had a war room really that they laid out to make sure that every area was prepared for, no stones left unturned to really deal with this. We, those of us who lived in this area for some time, remember a few years back when we had something that was just a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And, you know, people leaving cars on the road and people stranded and kids at school couldn't get home. It was just ridiculous, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it's like they waited until 1:30. All right, 1:30, everybody go home. I mean, what are you going to do that? You know, that was one of the worst plans. And we've learned.
Yes.
Because we didn't look too good to the rest of the country with that plan, but thankfully the plan was laid out and it really came through. We did have a few mishaps on Friday. We had some, I think, over around Truist Park, we had some 18-wheelers that got tangled up trying to take that curve to come off 75 to get on 285. Maybe they didn't get the memo. I don't know.
But this was one of those. This was one of those storms. While it was handled, as you said, as best as possible, and these guys planned it ahead of time, there were the side roads. There were those roads off the interstate that people who did not know, you know, this place, we're at the base of the mountains here, and they got on some of these roads and realized they couldn't make the curve.
Yeah.
Or realized they couldn't go up the street. And that's where a lot of this craziness happened, along with the unfortunate amount of downed trees and power lines that you didn't know until you tried to ride on that street.
Well, they had a big one that came down over on Briarcliff.
Yeah, they did.
Massive tree over there, and then took out power lines and that thing. But, you know, people were ready to go to work.
And people, you know, and folks are hitting the brake. Why are they hitting the brake lights up there? Why are they backing up? Oh, now I see why. You know what I mean? Just a lot of that. Those stories, those areas. For the most part, I would imagine that streets are at least clear now, but I could be wrong, and this is where we're offering our number. If you need to put a warning out, let folks know about either icy streets, areas that just need to be avoided, letting the emergency vehicles get there, please give us a call, and we will get that out there. 404-726-0929. Go ahead, Sam.
Yep, or if you have some people who've really done great work and you want to give a shout-out to the people in your community and you want to say, hey, you guys did a great job for us up there, give us a call, 404-726-0929. The people on the way, if you're having church at your church today, or if you're doing it online, we can pass that along as well this morning, 404-726-0929.
Let me just do this real quick, and I'm going to let you have it here, because I told you I reached out to a guy. And listen, I want to just address something, because we get people at least I get people who comment. He says, we hear you guys talk about your buddy up in Paulding County, and we're doing some work out here in DeKalb, and we're doing some work out here. I said, the only reason we talk about Brandon and those folks in Paulding County is because they've reached out to us, and they let us know what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you do the same, we will give you the same love. You know, we throw a blanket sort of comment or at least our thoughts on what's going on in County X or City X, but we don't really know. We don't have, you know, boots on the ground there. He reaches out to us and tells us and gives us these updates. And so I was just, you know, letting him know again, we hope you're doing fine up there. When the snow was getting ready to hit, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of days, and then he hit me back and said, been at it for 2 days. You know, hope all is well your way. But there was a story that happened out there that actually ended up on Channel 2 News. A lot of homeowners, they do this, and it's unfortunate they get them space heaters going. and
trying to save some money on that heating bill, man.
Yep, and they had a number of them in one of these houses, and that's what started the house fire. So they had to go and deal with that, and that was up in Paulding County. So, again, this was on WSB-TV. If you want to see that, homeowner says, had several space heaters running before house fire in Paulding County. So, again, just as you said, that we talk about the tragedies, unfortunately, but if there's some people that you know of that did some great work and continue to, don't hesitate to call us. Again, 404-726-0929. And, of course, if you want to say something about the Falcons and firing the defensive coordinator, we got that for you, too.
Absolutely.
So or
you like it, the national championship game.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We're playing in the heart of SEC country, but it ain't an SEC team playing in it. But you know what? We're still going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate college football, and people are going to come to town and have a great time. And that's what we're going to talk about later on today. We have someone from the college football playoffs with events and scholarships to talk about some of the events that are coming up. You don't have to have a ticket that you can still go to and enjoy. It's going to be kind of like Super Bowl week when Super Bowl came and you had a lot of different events going on that people can go to. Concerts.
Ooh, parties going on and all that.
You're going to have that type thing.
So, we don't get invited to those, though.
I don't know. We might. You know Ohio State people and Notre Dame people. You know, they
ain't nobody from Ohio State inviting anybody in this house to go party with them.
You might.
You know who lives in this house.
Just may not want to go. But
they don't even mention that state down south. That's how they call it.
Yeah.
That state down south. They don't want to hear the names mentioned. When he did post game last night, she turned the TV off. Which was funny to me. So.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead, man.
I see. Right now, some college basketball, because while Georgia's football season is over, the basketball season is heating up. Man, the Dogs are onto something over in Athens right now. Beat Kentucky during the week. Yesterday, they take out Oklahoma 72-62. They are now 14-2 on the year. Can we get this team a national ranking? Can we rank these guys, please? Big win. They're packing the place over at Stegman. They go on the road to take on top-ranked Tennessee on Wednesday. Could they do it? Could they pull off the upset? Tennessee barely escaped yesterday, and so did Auburn. We talk about college basketball. So 14-2 is Georgia right now. Georgia Tech at 8-9. They fall 93-71 on the road at SMU yesterday. They play Clemson Tuesday night. Georgia State gets a win. After some difficult times, the Panthers are putting some wins together. They're now 7-10 on the year, 3-2 in Sun Belt, 79-74 winners. They beat Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers made it from Myrtle Beach.
Say that again.
The Chanticleers. That's French for chicken. They made it. They made it to town, and they got plucked by the Panthers, 79-74 final.
Are you still doing TV? Or are you doing like Punchline?
What's wrong?
You got your little.
What's wrong, man?
I just the way you tied it up here with
what did I do?
Clucking. First it was chicken.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm enjoying you this morning.
There we go. Kennesaw State was at home yesterday. They fell to Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers, 85-69 final. KSU is 9-7 so far in the season. They're going to be hosting Sam Houston next. And the alma mater, you can't see me, but the hands over the heart. They fall to Lipscomb 86-67. Rough first season as a D1 program. They are now 3-14. Morehouse and Clark Atlanta, they didn't play yesterday because of the weather. Morehouse will play Benedict today, 2 p.m. at Forbes Arena. And Benedict will stay in town. They will play against Clark Atlanta tomorrow. The women will play at 6. The men play at 8 o'clock. That's the HBCUs being in action with some basketball. Some high school notes. Of course, we're a week away from King Holiday, which is always a big day for high school basketball, the big weekend for high school basketball in the area. And the big event always takes place at Holy Innocence Episcopal School, the annual MLK Classic. We have a big time over that way. Shout out to Coach Nicole Dixon and everyone that puts that thing together. And the teams that will be there next Monday, if you want to go next Monday, the teams that will be there, the Norcross girls are going to be playing over there. Hebron Christian girls are going to be there. Dr. Phillips coming up from Orlando, Florida to play in this event. It's going to be great that Holy Innocence boys and girls are going to be playing. We're also going to have the Lovett, and we're going to have the Walker School going to be playing there. Marietta High School girls are going to be playing in this. North Paulding girls, who are having an incredible season so far, will play in Baldwin High School. Hardaway is coming up from Columbus. Just a number of schools are going to be playing. They're going to have two gyms going all day long as a big event. They have a great, great, great time over there on King Holiday weekend. They usually have something for the kids from the lower school. They usually do some essays or do some paintings dedicated to Dr. King. So it's something that's cool to go. And also, the best part of this thing, Greg, is some of the teachers and parents have a chili cook-off. Yeah, man. They have a chili competition. And you can just get you a bowl and just go from and station to station and just sample the chili. There's so much that goes on at this event, man.
Okay.
And so that's coming up next Wednesday. Got high school football note before we let you go. In case you're wondering, I think right now there are about 33 high school coaching jobs that are open throughout the state, high school football coaches. There may be a few more that have come out. I think the one that just came up this week, Jamie Abrams at Cedartown. So Cedartown is open. We got a number of schools that are looking for coaches. Marietta's looking for one. Commerce is looking for one. Cedar Grove. Noel, what does it take to be the head coach at Cedar Grove? Cedar Grove is looking for a new coach.
Hang on a second. Are we going to get that, our sound, when you reached out to Noel? Is she going to do it?
I don't know. We'll see. But
because I want to make sure that we hear that, we can use that this morning.
Could that be good? That would be good to get that.
Noel, just jump in there and say I'm ready, and then do it.
You know, we'll see.
Okay.
She may be a bit busy.
Go ahead.
Some stuff right now. She there?
No, you just keep talking.
Okay.
She'll let us know.
All right. We're just letting know some of the schools that are looking for high school coach. Roswell, looking for a coach. Sprayberry. Norcross is filled their position, but there are a number of schools that are looking for head football coaches for the upcoming season. And if we get those positions filled, we will pass some of those along to you. But that's what we got for you this morning. As hopefully everybody is able to get back to class tomorrow. Of course, everybody missed a day. A lot of people missed a day out of school on Friday. Some school systems say all classes virtually, but we get back at it tomorrow.
You know what I don't want to hear, Sam, and thank you for that, locally, over the next few days, and I would imagine with every week that passes, these guys get a little bit smarter and doing, I don't want to hear about nobody's house being busted into, of these NFL players that are traveling to play these games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems like every other weekend we're hearing about somebody's house that got broken into because so-and-so is on the road playing a game. Phew.
Yeah.
That was one thing, and also, tip of the cap to the NFL, realizing you talked about what was going on locally here. The NFL had also been monitoring what was going on in Los Angeles and moved that game as soon as they could to Arizona. So the Rams, I forgot who they're playing, but they're going to have that instead of a home game at SoFi, they're going to be playing that game in Arizona.
True.
So again, it's been an interesting time watching this unfold, how people have made these adjustments. I mean, you think about this. If you were to, you know, jump into a DeLorean and go back a decade and tell somebody what life and sports are going to be like and how we're dealing with these things in 2025. I mean, you get folks making that Scooby-Doo noise and cocking their head to the side.
You would. That's Minnesota. The Rams got Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah. So they're gonna move that game to Arizona. So again, coming up, we're gonna talk to Karen Pestana. Get ready for the Australian Open. Can I leave you with a little nugget here and a happy birthday?
Go ahead.
You ready for this? This man will be headed toward Medicare this year. Happy 65th birthday to Dominic Wilkins.
Yeah, man. Human highlight, Bill. Our guy. He's our guy.
Neek is 65 today, man. Dude, shout out to
him. Dude with the statue out in front of the building.
Yeah, with the high top.
There you go.
It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Noelle's on the other side of the glass, and we're going to venture into her world coming up at 7:40. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. The woman has got walk-on music. You know she's a friend of the show. She's family. I want to welcome Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama. Join for the first time in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the music as always, and Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, and of course, Happy New Year to your husband.
Greg, why you have to go there?
Happy New Year to her husband.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Happy New Year to that gentleman.
He's sleeping, but anyway.
Yeah. All right, I have to start something off here because, believe it or not, there is something that I did not know about you. Maybe I should have read more articles about you or people, you know, talking about you, but I didn't know that you had a name that the folks in the tennis community call you. or you've had it, or maybe it's not that, you know.
Which one?
I read something where they called you, they said your name, and then they said, a.k.a. Corton Karen.
Correct. Years ago, no one has called me that in at least 10 years.
Well, wow. I would have come up with a better one, and I can see why you put it on the shelf for 10 years, because I was like, Corton Karen? Come on, we can do better than that. But I saw that, and I'd never know that about you.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago. because of the court hopping, you know.
Okay.
When I'm in a tournament, whether I am there as a journalist or a fan, I like to hop the courts. I don't like to stay in one place unless it's a big match, that like a final or semi or something like that. I like to hop around the courts because I like to see what's happening on court, not from a studio, not from a TV. So that started with that.
Take that, John McEnroe.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically,
she wants to see for herself. She don't want to hear from you.
She's got comfortable. She's bringing comfortable shoes to the majors.
Sneakers, please. No sneakers, always.
Yep. And if you happen to meet her at the tournament, you better have yours on as well. It's Karen Pistana at Tennis Panorama News, and she is social. Always find her at Tennis News TPN at Tennis News TPN. It is underway. The first major tournament, and American Sloan Stephens made a quick exit. My goodness, already
gone.
What's
up with that?
I know, right? It seems like she's getting these types of draws where she's getting the top seed or one of the top two seeds or three seeds in the first round. Well, that's what happens when your ranking is not that as high as it could be. But, you know, in all honesty, I think the fact that she won the U.S. Open back in 2017, life is good for her, and she can live off of that one major for the rest of her career and life.
I see, and I don't know if this is a fair statement or not, but the intestinal fortitude that tennis players used to have, I don't see it as rampant throughout the sport. Maybe it's because of the money they make early on if they have some success, but, you know, we've talked about this before. Ash Barty dipped out, and she was number one in the world. You know, Naomi walked away for a little while to deal with some personal issues, but she's back. But now she broke up with her boyfriend, or I don't know what she had.
It
was boyfriend, okay. But it just seems like they reach out to the other options they have sooner than we've seen in the past. Is that a fair statement?
I would say it's fair. You know, people, I think this generation, they want a life besides having a career in some sport. At least I can say that about tennis. I can't say that about every sport. But also, too, there are fewer options for women in professional sports that make the money that tennis pays.
It's true. Very true. With that said, let's dive into the draw for this tournament, shall we? And let's talk about Naomi Osaka. What do you make of her going into this tournament? What are her chances of her making it through the first week?
Well, here's the issue. We don't know how serious her injury is, or if her abdominal injury is still, you know, hurting her. We have no idea. So it's tough for me to make a decision on how she's going to do. But her first round match is a repeat of last year, and that's against Caroline Garcia. And, you know, former top 10 player here, Caroline. And they both hit the ball pretty hard, and, you know, the points will be short, I'll tell you that, because of their hard hitting. But I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this first round match for Naomi. And when you have the question marks about her health, well, you know, in all honesty, I think it's going to be tough for her to get out of that first round match.
Let's stay on the women's side and talk about a couple other ladies. And this is not one you thought I would bring up, but Iga Świątek.
Oh, Iga Świątek. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Iga, well, she's in the quarter of the part of the draw where she would probably face in the semis. Let's see. Let me just get my draw thing out here. She's in the same half, in the same quarter of the draw as Jasmine Paolini and, let's see, Emma Navarro. So Iga, you know, this is another thing with Iga. Iga hasn't, since the whole doping thing, she she has doesn't seem as confident as she could be because she's so used to being in her bubble and just going out and winning, but now she has to deal with media distractions, so to speak, or distractions in general, because everybody's questioning her about what happened, what's going on, she's so used to being, how can I put this, even though she was number one, she's so used to being kind of hidden and private that her not being able to be as private as she once was is, I think, affecting her play.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
And that's something. And then there's, of course, now Coco Gauff has had a number of wins over her, a recent one at the United Cup. Thoughts about that and about Coco's chances coming into this event?
Coco, well, I think that she can at least reach the semis. But who is waiting for her in the semifinals? Probably, most likely, defending champion Aryna Sabalenka. Now, yes, Sabalenka is totally, totally on fire, especially on the hard courts and whatnot. But people seem to forget that Gauff beat Sabalenka in the final of the U.S. Open that Gauff won. So you never know. But Coco comes in here with confidence, high confidence. So you never know, as they say.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News. You want to follow her, especially at all times, but especially when a major event is going on. Are we still on the court? I think Riley Opelka, just finished all 6-11 of him. Good win for US. What does it mean to have this guy healthy and back on tour?
Well, everyone's like, oh, he's a serve bot and whatnot, but I enjoy watching him play, and he moves really well for someone who is 6'11", although I really think he's 7 feet. I really do think he's 7 feet, and just saying I don't want to say I'm 7 feet. But but he moves around the court really well for someone that tall. So, but it's kind of fun to watch him. He's at least he had to withdraw from the final he was in last week with some issues, and at least we know he's healthy now. So back to being healthy. So he got through that first round match. We'll see what he can do.
It makes me want to ask: has there ever been? I ask this to the two of you. Has there ever been a 7-foot tennis player of note?
No, but Ivo Karlovic was 6'10", and I know that.
John Isner.
Isner is actually shorter than Opelka by a smidgen. So I know you're like they're both the same, but I don't think there's been one at 7 feet. But
no.
I really do believe though that Riley Opelka is 7 feet tall and just doesn't want to say.
All right. Well, here's my story of this upcoming season. And you know how I feel about that guy. And Skinner is one thing, and we can talk about him. But my story is I want to see the return of Nick Kyrgios. I know he's had some knee injuries.
Yeah.
That's the dude who gets under the Joker's skin.
They're going to be playing at the same time.
I know, but I want to see him. They get past the Australian. I want him ready for the French. I want him ready for Wimbledon, and I definitely want him ready for the U.S. Open here.
Greg, they played doubles together. They played doubles together.
I don't care, but when they play singles, though, it's a different deal, right? Come on.
Oh, yeah, this is true. Well, the thing is, though, Kyrgios gets under the skin of a lot of players.
That's what I want.
But he's also bros with a lot of players, too. So, it's fun. Whether you love him or hate him, he can be so fun to watch.
That's
and you think to yourself, if he had put all of his concentration and effort into this sport, how much better he would be.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about that, Skinner. And Djokovic, they've made sure that these guys are on opposite ends of the draw so they possibly could meet. But the seasons in front of both of these guys I'll keep my personal opinions to myself, but your thoughts on what could be Joker's final season and where we are with Skinner right now in his career.
Well, with Sinner, I have to give Sinner some props at the U.S. Open when his pre-tournament news conference and talking about the doping and whatnot, and he made a statement and the monitors for the news conference, we're trying to cut the media off from asking any more questions, and Sinner's like, no, I'm going to answer questions. And he sat there and answered questions. Mm-hmm. I'll give him props for that. Now, he's now going to be in April. In April, he's going to be dealing with another court issue in terms of these doping allegations. The WADA basically cleared him because the drug that was banned was allegedly in some massage cream that his trainer was using on him. Now in April, he is scheduled to be at the Court of Arbitration of Sports, said that it would have a hearing on this in April in their headquarters. So we'll see what happens with this. But Sinner seems to be playing well. I mean, he's not letting this really affect him. And the U.S. Open, he won the U.S. Open. You can get through a major dealing with all this. You know, you got to give him some credit there. But,
Absolutely. Wrapping up here with Karen, before we let you go, we got a couple of minutes here. Thoughts about Djokovic. You shared something with me about Djokovic that turned a light on. You have an assumption what we may see this week, the next couple of weeks.
Well, the next couple of weeks, well, for me, I think Djokovic is, of course, concentrating on the majors. I mean, he's right now at 24. And I really do think that this being his favorite major, one he's won the most 10 times, if he can win this major, I think it'll be mic drop, see you later, I'm retired, because there's nothing more for him to accomplish. So all of his efforts are going to be into these majors, because he will, if he can win that 25th major, that record is his, like pretty much every other record seems to be. Well, most, not all. I can't say that Federer has the most Wimbledons, but and of course Nadal the most French. But
right. He's
concentrating on the majors. That's his prep. He's prepping for these majors. That's all he really wants to do. He doesn't care if he's number one at this point.
He wants that 25th. Exactly.
Yep.
He wants Serena looking up at him.
And he got his gold medal last year.
Yeah. The only tournament he won the entire year, the only thing that he hadn't had a gold medal in the Olympic Games.
Yeah. My apologies to the tennis community. I kept calling this guy Skinner. I don't know why. I knew it was Sinner. But anyway. And we haven't met Alcaraz?
Oh yes, Alcaraz. It's so funny. With all that's going on, and Sinner, and Djokovic, and Kyrgios,
yeah. It's
like Carlos Alcaraz, no one's paying attention to him. People forget that if he happens to win the Australian Open, he will become, at 21, the youngest man to win all four majors in a career. People forget he's won, well, two Wimbledons, one French Open, one U.S. Open. So if he wins the Australian Open,
yeah, he
will have made some history of his own.
That'll put a drink on a coaster. Yeah, buddy. All right. Listen, Karen, as always, we thank you. We'll check back with you next week, since this thing is a fortnight. So you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you, as always, for getting up and joining us.
Thanks, Karen.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
There you go. Karen Pacina joining us. Hey, up next, what is running around in Noelle's head? Last time we talked to her, we let her loose there. She told us about a hit and run. I hope it's a whole lot safer than
that.
Yeah,
really.
So we got that coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sunday mornings. Noel, hello, good morning. And wait, Sam, let's wait for it.
Good morning.
All right, now.
There we go. That's what we're waiting for. Wait, but this threw me off. That was a curveball I wasn't expecting. It was one of them backdoor Greg Maddux pitches. I wasn't expecting that one. And I'm wondering, why is the Wizard of Oz top of mind with you? Or is it one of the characters from that movie?
Ding dong, the witch is dead. And the witch in this case, I'm so sorry to say, is Jimmy Lake. Ding dong, the witch is dead. We have taken care of one of the most important things we need to do to improve this team for the offseason, and that is to get a defensive coordinator.
Okay, you got to back up a little bit here and tell everybody who don't know what you're talking about. The Falcons you're talking about.
Yes, so okay. Your Atlanta Falcons have dismissed, alleviated, terminated, whichever adjective you would like to use for Jimmy Lake, your former defensive coordinator. Now, let me say, this has nothing to do with Jimmy Lake personally. I actually think he's a pretty decent guy. But we couldn't get any sacks until our head coach got involved, and that's clear. Now, can I give you guys my theory of what happened week 18?
Go right ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So week 18, as we all watched the game, we saw that little ticker in the left-hand corner, right? That showed us what was going on between the Aints and Tampa, right? We all saw the little ticker in the corner. Well, once that ticker told us all that we were out of the playoffs, in my opinion, that's when it was a decision to go into overtime instead of go for the win. Because now you had a chance to give your defensive coordinator a final exam. It's on you. Can you get a stop in this overtime? Can you give my offense the ball back? And the answer was no. The answer was no.
Very much.
The grade was F. You had 2 weeks. You had the same final exam twice. They gave you a redo. You had the same final exam twice. You failed it twice. So that, to me, was the swan song of the Jimmy Lake defensive coordinator era. Now the question is, who's next? Who's next, guys?
Let me ask you this. Before you try to figure out who's going to coach him, do you have the right players in place? Do you feel?
You need something on every level, which to me makes your draft easier. Because now you can do what you did, whether you like the drafting strategy or not. Now you can do what you did on offense, on defense, because you need something on every level. So pick the best one available and let's go. You need an edge rusher. You need a safety. You need linebackers. You need a D lineman. You need a corner, right? So that's about every level, right?
Yep, that's true.
So that should make drafting even easier. You're sitting right there at 15, just let them fall right there at 15. Pick the best one.
Now, here's the next question I got for you. This is what folks are saying. So things are being nice and calm right now, and everybody's saying kumbaya, and he's going to stay and be the quarterback. But how much money can these guys negotiate to get off of this Kirk Cousins thing and get somebody else in here? In other words, free up some cash, free up some cap space, and go after some of those players that you're talking about instead of being handcuffed by that contract. And would somebody take him? Because we're going to find out how many folks are really wanting to take a deep dive into getting a starting quarterback this year. And it's going to be interesting. You got Kirk Cousins sitting there here in town. You got whatever is going to happen with them two dudes in Pittsburgh who you don't know, and they're not injured. But I do not believe they're both going to be there next year. So your thoughts on, like I said, every tier needs some addressing, Noel. How do you free up some of that? And is it through what is now the backup quarterback? Or do you ride with that and get it elsewhere?
You might be stuck there because that's going to take some work from Kurt. Kurt's going to have to help you a little bit to try to get a trade done at all with his no trade clause. And then now to me, there is a possibility, right? Because we saw this season that teams are in a feast or famine situation. You either won four games or you won about 14, right? There wasn't very, very few middle ground teams with us right there at the 7, 8, 9 win slot. It wasn't too many of us this season. It's mostly four wins or 14 wins. And so those four win teams have to choose between the quarterbacks available, including a Kirk Cousins or an iffy draft class, right? So there is a window, I see, for Kirk Cousins to be moved. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. I think the Falcons are looking at, hey, we owe him $100 million anyway, hook or crook. We gave him $100 million guaranteed. So if that other 10 has to be you sitting behind Penix, well, hey, then that's what it's going to be unless we get something that's advantageous to us there. Now, I do see a Grady Jarrett contract. Not an extension, but like a reworking there to try to free up some money and reworking in some other places. There are some people you probably won't bring back that you brought in as free agents that'll probably free up some money. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with your tight end with the fifth year option. So it will get interesting this off season, but the Wicked Witch had to go. The house had to fall on the Wicked Witch. He had to go.
Wow.
Wicked Witch had to go.
That's the way of putting it.
Yeah.
Ding yep. dong.
Yeah. Oh, well, I tell you what. Are we okay at place kicker?
Ooh.
See, that's I was going there next. Thank you, Sam.
We'll see. Okay.
We know what he's been. He has been steady Eddie.
I mean, he's been the reliable man on the cups.
Yeah, no.
On the posters. on the promo. Like Kuh has been a part of whatever little piece of winning we've had these couple of years, right? So we do know what we've had there, and seeing what was available last minute to bring in here, it didn't look great, right? It didn't look appetizing. Like, every time I saw Kuh clap on the sideline when he missed a kick, I'm like, yeah, you know your job is safe, don't you? So you might bring in somebody to compete with Kuh in the offseason, but I don't see it as a straight cut ties situation. But you got to get some edge rushers. I don't know if you trade to get one. I don't know if you find one on the free agent market. I don't know if you hire scouts to come in and just look for an edge rusher. I don't know how you solve a 20-year problem, but you need an edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But notice I said nothing about the offensive line. Shout out to Caleb McGarry. He showed me a lot being the blindside blocker for the last couple weeks. So clap it up for him. And we're running more zone to the right, so it makes him look better because that's his strength. So clap it up for him.
Okay.
Yep.
The Washington connection looked like it might work out for Caleb McGarry. And we got some hurt players we got to see, like a DeMarco Helms and a Braylon Trice. So there's a lot of positive on the table. I know there's been a lot of tomato throwing and vein popping the past 2 weeks in the city about what's going on with this team. But there are some positive things. There are some building blocks we can have. Mm-hmm. Yes, we wanted to go to the playoffs and then probably lose like the Chargers did yesterday.
Well, you know.
We got the building blocks.
We're 6-3, and I think that's what everybody keeps going back to. I mean, why do you get off of that kind of start? It's like Lucy holding the football. You know, come on, we're going to let you kick it this time. And we got that big running start, and we ran that lead back. And as you look up at your feet, before you embrace yourself for the impact, you know what I mean. That's what happened to us again. So I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
And the crazy part is your defense improved in that stretch. So you got more out of your defense. You got some really special teams in that back half of the season. But the most important position on the field just fell off a cliff. I don't know if it was mentally, physically, both. I don't know. But he just fell off a cliff. And once that happened, like you saw the team. Once we beat the Raiders and it didn't feel like a win,
yeah.
I think that's when the entire city decided, oh, okay, Kurt, it might be time for a nap.
Yeah.
And now he's going to take a long one.
And I'm curious to see if that ever comes out, if it was something physical that led to something mental, you know, that would cause that kind of decline. A steep decline. This was falling off the edge for someone who had been the conference, conference offensive player of the week twice.
Right.
Just inexplicable.
And for me, you could tell, in my opinion, I could tell he was starting to feel the pressure cook. Because this city is a sports pressure cooker. And I think it goes unnoticed by national media or people that aren't here. But, like, this is a very passionate, intense sports town that is starving to, like, be relevant or to get wins. And the longer this goes on, the more rabid it gets. And I think Kirk Cousins kind of fell into the middle of that, because by the time we got to the Minnesota game and he was refusing interviews with Minnesota media, that was a red flag for me.
You know, Sam, when I sit here and listen to Noel with the passion that she has and saying what she's saying, it almost sounds like it's flipped. This city was always considered part of Georgia, which was – this was college football country. It was and it wasn't pro sports. And if I'm listening to her, you're letting me believe that it is flipped in your mind. Is that the case?
Well, for me, it's always been that. Like college is cool. I've always been the person to say, if they're meant for me to see, I'll see them in the NFL. So it's been the past
okay.
10 years that I've really like started to really get into college football and you know keep an eye on it and kind of know what's going on. But for me, it's always been like the passion of this city and trying to put this city on the map. Like Jermaine Dupri has a quote where he said, you know, you see those T-shirts and you see Tokyo and London and Chicago and New York. We want to be on that T-shirt. And we want to be on that T-shirt in the sports world as well. And that's why there's so much passion and ire and anger in this city. Whether I feel it's misplaced or not, I understand where it's coming from and why. And I get it. I mean, I watched my father do the same thing for 30 years with the Vikings. All he did was stand down there and yell for 17, 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, well, we ain't Minneapolis. This is on that. This city is on that shirt. This city, it might have been there. It might not have been one of the originals, but it's there now. It's absolutely there now.
Yeah. I think when you talk about college and football, I think college has been more consistent. And I think that's the thing down through the years, the college football, even when Tech in its heyday, you know, the people could count on the college football teams to win. And that's something that hadn't always been the case with the NFL team. And like I said, we've been like Lucy holding the football for us. We've been waiting, and that's what's got our blood boiling right now. You know,
I wanted to throw this out to Noel. I know we got to go here, and you know, there's lines of delineation with professional sports. I absolutely believe that. I know that baseball, you can decide whether or not it was Jackie Robinson or it was the move to the West Coast or it was Curt Flood losing his trial, but then that beginning of free agency. But in the NFL, most people will tell you the line of delineation happened on this day that took it from where it was to where it is right now. Today was the day that Super Bowl III happened and the New York Jets beat the Baltimore Colts.
I guarantee it.
And the AFL beat the NFL for the first NFC for the first time. And I mean, and people forget about Shula's connection to this game. They all think about Shula with Miami, but he was a Baltimore.
He was.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, Joe Namath's quote, him being the MVP, all of that thrown into a blender. This, and then, of course, because of this game, you know, like I said, it just took things to the next level. Kansas City started coming up in there, and so this is the day that the Super Bowl III happened and the New York Jets beat Baltimore 16-7. So, again, you can say this was the day that it took things off there. Anyway, any last things, Noel? I guess not. She's ready to go. Sam, you ready for this 8 o'clock hour and our next guest?
Absolutely. With the college football playoff championship game coming up, there are a number of events coming up dealing with the subject matter around college sports, like NIL. Tamika Smith-Jones from Kennesaw State University coming up at the top of the hour. It is Sam, it is Greg with Noel on the other side of the glass on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.